I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Bills have wrapped up their practice in the stadium today. No practice for Shaq Lawson. He has not practiced all week with his hamstring. Cornerback Taron Johnson did not practice today with his shoulder, and just limited work for wide receiver Ray McLeod. The Bills have got to work through some numbers at cornerback. Sean McDermott says Vontae Davis will play Sunday. He was inactive last Sunday, so Buffalo has four healthy cornerbacks ready to go this Sunday. Bills and the Los Angeles Chargers, Sunday at 1 o'clock here on Orchard Park. We've got the call of the game on our flagship radio station, WGR Sports Radio 550. Myself, Mark Kelso, Sal Capaccio on the sidelines. Packers coach Mike McCarthy said today that Aaron Rodgers is still day-to-day in his ongoing recovery from a knee sprain he suffered on Sunday. McCarthy says the Packers will know more about his availability for their game against Minnesota after tomorrow's practice. The Packers did not practice today. Reports on NFL Network say Rodgers is expected to play against the Vikings. Andy Dalton threw four touchdown passes last night, three of them to A.J. Green, as the Bengals got ahead early and held on for a 34-23 win over the Baltimore Ravens. It is a 2-0 start for Cincinnati. First 2-0 start since they won the division title 3 years ago. The Ravens dropped to 1-1. Linebacker Michael Kendricks, released by the Browns after charges of insider trading, is signing a one-year deal with the Seattle Seahawks. Kendricks pleaded guilty last week to the charges. Sentencing set for January 24th. He signed a one-year contract with the Browns in June. Reportedly, he used tips from an acquaintance to make about $1.2 million in illegal profits on four major trading deals. Dolphins got bad news today. Tests revealed that left guard Josh Sitton tore his rotator cuff and he will be out for the rest of the season. Buffalo Sabres on the ice for training camp practices today, officially opening yesterday when players reported for physicals and testing. They continue through the weekend with practices at Harbor Center, open to the public. There is a sessions on tomorrow morning, and on Sunday a scrimmage starting at 10:30. That's the update from One Bills Drive. A couple of days before game day here, John Murphy, Steve Tasker with One Bills Live, joined by my broadcast partner on Sundays on the Bills Radio Network, color analyst for the Bills Radio Network, and, of course, longtime Buffalo Bills safety Mark Kelso in studio with us. Mark, good afternoon. Welcome. You made it. You escaped from rainy Carolina, huh, where you worked during the rest of the week.
Yeah, and a lot of concern down there, certainly, and the coast is getting battered pretty significantly right now in Wilmington. And I don't think Charlotte's going to get the brunt of it. It seems like it's going to turn. It keeps changing direction and changing velocities and all kinds of different weather anomalies. But things seem okay in Charlotte at the moment, but there's a lot of people in North and South Carolina that are going to have some difficulties here this weekend.
Not that it's the most important thing, but the Panthers play in Atlanta this week, so they don't have a home game to deal with it.
Well, and wouldn't think that would cause any disruption with the game in Atlanta, but it would certainly probably cause disruption if the game was in Charlotte.
Right, that was
correct.
My point. If they were home, it wouldn't, but they're not. And it'll be supposedly cleared out by next weekend when they do play at home.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's settling on the coast a little bit, so I think they said it might settle there a little bit longer. It might not hit Charlotte area until late Saturday or Sunday afternoon, so it may linger a little bit through the beginning of the week, so it may affect some of their practices, But again, that's probably not the most significant concern. The most significant concern is the safety of people there, and they close schools, and they've got some schools that are acting as shelters just in case the weather causes that kind of problem.
Mark, to a much lesser extent, the rain in Baltimore didn't let up last week in the Bills opener against the Ravens, and the storm has continued here in Orchard Park all week.
It rained
long
here on One Bills Live till Wednesday.
Have you had a chance to review what went on, what went wrong last week? I mean, it was just awful last week.
Yeah, it rained down. No, honestly, I'm like the players. You got to turn the page. I mean,
That's what Steve said.
Well, you need to think about it a little bit. You need to. There's a plan and a process, and not to use the current coaching staff's terminology, but there is a plan and a process to a defeat or a victory. I mean, if it's a victory, you got to enjoy it, you got to look at it, and then you got to move forward. And if it's a defeat, you got to look at it, you got to own the mistakes, you got to realize how you're going to correct them, you got to coach them up on Monday afternoon, you got to take Tuesday off, and you got to go about your business on Wednesday, or you're going to find yourself in the same spot come the next Sunday afternoon. You got to move forward. There were certainly some plays that were made on, well, not a whole lot on the offensive side of the ball, but a few. I mean, the running backs, Marcus Murphy, I know had a few plays, and there were a couple throws down the field that were pretty effective. But by and large, they did not play near their level of capability, and that's a pretty darn good defense. The Raven defense is good, and you talked about last night's game earlier in the segment with Cincinnati and Baltimore. Baltimore put up over 500 yards yesterday as well, but they turned it over three times and put their defense in some difficult situations. I think that's why they lost that game, and I actually thought Baltimore would beat Cincinnati. But the Bills, they got to go back to work, and this is a team that they lost to by a significant differential last year. Tremendous offensive weapons on this team, future Hall of Famers in Antonio Gates, which isn't playing a whole lot, and of course, Phillip Rivers, and he can sling it, and they've got some personnel that can run some great routes and run some stem routes, as Steve knows well, and tacking the correct hip of the defensive back to create some separation, and it's going to be a difficult task defensively, because this offense is better, in my opinion, than the Baltimore Raven clan that they faced last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great to hear. Thanks. the thing about you saying about turning the page, and I told Murph that on Monday, but you can't let last week's loss count for this week's loss. You know, you can't hang it over. You can't let one loss turn into two losses. Certainly, it doesn't mean you've actually got to, you decide to win, you're going to win. But you got to put forth a better effort. You got to correct what happened last week, and not only correct the specific mistakes you make on this play or that play or whatever, but also in your preparation, in your game plan, in what you know about your own team. And I think this at this point, and you speak to this, Mark, this coaching staff still kind of getting to know exactly who can do what and what they can ask them to do and what they can't do, they can't count on.
Well, and still tweaking the roster. So obvious it's they have guys in certain positions that they're not even 100% comfortable with that situation and how they complement the entire defensive or offensive scheme. So, there's no question about that. I mean, you can't lament it, because if you feel sorry for yourself, guess what? The Chargers are going to come in here and roll. So you better find a way to overcome it. And like this coaching staff says as well, it's got to be a growth mindset. It doesn't define who you are. It doesn't define you as a team. It's one game. It answered a few questions in the negative. Unfortunately, the offensive line did not have a very good day. The receiving corps did not have a lot of production as well. And they've got to find some separation. So they certainly didn't help Nathan Peterman. And this week it'll be the rookie quarterback. They've got to put him in situations where he can succeed. And that means, in my mind, he's got to get rid of the ball quickly. So there's some ways that I think they can attack this Charger defensive unit that might be successful on Sunday afternoon. But they've got to execute seamlessly. If they do, they've got a chance. If they don't, they don't have any chance.
With Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, you are welcome to join us as well. Phone lines open 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. So it is Josh Allen. You saw him three times in preseason, Mark, and of course last Sunday he played much of the second half, most of the second half. What do you expect to get from him as a starter? What do you think the Bills are looking to get from Josh Allen in his first NFL start?
Well, let me back up to talk about a little bit what I think the Chargers will do about him, and then I'll tell you what maybe we think we can expect from Josh Allen. It hamstrings their defensive unit significantly without Joey Bosa. I don't think he's supposed to play.
Right.
And that relegates them to a lot more zone coverage than man coverage, because Ingram can pressure the passer, but they don't have too many guys outside of Ingram that can really affect the passing game and disrupt that timing of the offense. So now you have an opportunity to extend some plays down the field, but I still think they should protect Josh Allen when they do it. I think there's opportunities to run here, and then off a successful run game, you can develop a nice successful play-action passing game and have guys down the field, extending the field way down there with a post route and a flag route on the outside, so Josh Allen can just sling it. But it's got to be off a half sprinter. It's got to be off a bootleg where he can buy some additional time before he can throw it downfield. And the other thing, and we've talked about this over the years extensively, that one thing that this Charger offensive unit does from the receiver position is block really well for Melvin Gordon. That's what the Bills receiving unit needs to do. They can line up in cluster. They can line up in an inverted wing with two tight ends on one side. But those guys have got to block, and they've got to position themselves and leverage themselves so that they create space for the running backs. And if they do that, there'll be opportunities in the run game and in the play-action passing game.
The opportunities are there, but the Bills struggled so badly last Sunday to get the running game going. And I know it's a different opponent. Can they take advantage of those opportunities? I mean, offensive line, can they do that against this team, what they could not do last week?
Well, they have a little different configuration sometimes as well, because they'll line up their two linebackers in the C gap. Okay, so White, Kazir White, and Perryman will line up in a C-gap, and they'll put, how do you pronounce his name, Adey?
The safety?
The safety. So the strong safety will not line up over at the tight end
Jaleel
position.
Jaleel Adey.
Adey. Well, so he'll line up behind those guys at about 6 yards. So the linebackers are at a depth of 5 to 5.5, and he'll be right in the middle of those guys at about 6 yards in certain situations. They are not going to let you run the ball inside. They want to prevent the inside running game, that inside zone play, that little, whether it's a G lead or a double lead or whatever it is between the tackles. They do not want you to run there, but their cornerbacks a lot, particularly without Joey Bosa, they're going to turn and bail on the snap, and they're going to be playing three deep. So the cornerbacks are responsible for about 10 yards from the line of scrimmage and deeper on the defensive side of the football. So there's some opportunities on the edge if you can get to the edge. And I think that's where they need to attack them, whether it's in this cluster formation or whether you line up with Logan and Charles or whatever configuration of tight ends you line up, and one of them motions across to change the motion, because now they can attack the underside of the front like we talked about. So they line up five guys on the line of scrimmage, and they can attack the side where the nose tackle was not.
I don't think Nope.
He knows. Exactly, he knows. We've been talking about it for 13 years. He knows it. He knows it, buddy.
We've been talking about on the show about what one guy on either side of the football that's going to be key for the Bills. And a lot of people have pointed, obviously, towards Josh Allen and how he plays, but also towards LeSean McCoy a lot. What is your best case scenario for how they use him? I think, we were talking about giving him 30 touches, both run and pass. I mean, the more you give to him, probably the better it's going, no question about it. But by the same token, who else but LeSean McCoy is really the Chargers' defense concerned about?
Well,
I'm saying?
I don't know if they're overly concerned about any other offensive personnel at this point, but they need some guys that need to step up. And they need to do it at the receiver position. I really believe that. I mean, I do think Kelvin Benjamin enjoys a significant size advantage and a wingspan advantage over some of those cornerbacks. And, again, the game last week, they played a lot of zone coverage. And if they're playing zone coverage, you've got to simplify things for Josh Allen. Now, you can use LeSean McCoy in an H. Reed situation where he comes out of the backside with a receiver or a tight end. There's a little game that they can run. You can use him in a trip situation where two receivers come out and he's in the flat. Or you can engage a cluster situation where you can run that way. So now you have a collection of three players there. You can run that direction because there'll be a lot of space because you can run those defensive backs off. And at the same time, you can throw the ball in that situation. Now LeSean McCoy, he's not going to be matched up against a linebacker or a dime defensive back because they're playing a lot of zone, but that's the route he's going to be running against the areas that they're trying to defend, and he could have some positive effect down the field, there's no question. But it's all about you got to get the ball out on time, you got to have a plan, and I think you have to simplify things for Josh Allen. You have to say, hey, here there's going to be guys in this spot, and this spot, and the numbers may change, and the personnel may change, right. But there's going to be people in these spots, and here's where you're going to look first, here's where you're going to look second, and then you're either going to be on the move or you're going to get rid of the football. And if they can do that, again, they can develop a little bit of a rhythm to the offense, and then they'll be able to execute some play-action pass and some draw and some screen. The screen game has gone away. I don't understand why it has. Not the best situation when a team's playing zone because they typically defend the screen better when you play zone. But if they get into a tight situation, the other thing they do, which is going to be difficult for Josh Allen, is it's a creative rush package. So they're only going to blitz four, but they might bring four guys off one side and drop guys out on the other side. And occasionally they'll rush five, but they're not going to rush six people because then they got to play all out man. They're gonna limit that probably to five pass rushers. But again, they may drop off. One time, I think it was Ingram. Ingram dropped back and played free safety in one particular coverage. So they're pretty creative on the defensive side to execute a zone scheme. But I would say by and large, that's what Bill should expect on Sunday afternoon.
Ingram, just for those of you who don't, Ingram's their defensive end, who's a really good pass rusher on the other side of Joey Bosa. If you have him playing free safety, they're trying to trick somebody.
Yeah. Exactly.
Mark Kelso is with us, the color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. So you see opportunities for the Buffalo offense against Los Angeles defense. Flip it around a little bit. Is there anything the Bills can do to slow down that Chargers offense? 540 yards in a loss last week? That's crazy.
Yeah, and Keenan Allen is really good at what I call just a stemming a route. So when you're running, if you're running a 10-yard out cut, I mean, he's not going to run straight down the field vertically and then break 90 degrees to the left. I mean, he's going to start inside and he's going to go vertical. Then he might come outside a little bit, and he's going to push you and direct his half at your hip or different hips to try to move you and turn you, spread your feet as a defensive back if you're playing man coverage. And then he's going to create some separation. He's got great hands. He can catch the ball outside his body frame. So he is really formidable in running pass routes and
what is he,
a
like
big
six,
weapon.
200 something pounds?
Yeah, and it's just – I mean, he's not going to run over anybody, but he does have some size, and he's got a little length to him as well. And then coming out of the backfield, Melvin Gordon is—he's great. Last week, I think he caught what, 9 balls coming out of the backfield.
Yards
reception. he's gonna run circle routes. He's gonna run routes to the flat, and if you're not careful, he might just turn it up the sideline and take opportunities there. But I do think there's opportunities. I think they want to run the ball inside. I mean, they ran what we call that little jet sweep when they bring a receiver across and they just turn around and hand it off
Benjamin
to him as he's running
key.
Full speed, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you can catch defenses or you can fake that play and then hand it off inside because it freezes the linebackers as they're trying to decide which path they're going to take to defend. And then what happens with that is so they've run that, but they want to run the ball inside the tackles. They really do. So you got to force them outside the tackles. And you do that by playing a cover two situation and you force everything out to the edge. Now you can play some man if you want, but you can get those cornerbacks up, but the cornerbacks are going to have to tackle well and prevent him from getting to the edge as that interior of the Bills defense forces them that way.
Yeah, you're looking at Keenan Allen had 8 receptions last week, Melvin Gordon had 9, and then you had 4 other guys that got a bunch of targets. And only a couple of receptions here and there. Eckler and Williams had 5 catches apiece, but he spreads it around. Well, I mean, you're going to throw it 51 times. You're going to spread it around. He's more than one guy. But that's
no question.
They didn't try to run the football. Of course, they were climbing out of a hole. Kansas City was running the football back on them all the time last week. We've been talking a lot about Phillip Rivers. You don't sack him very much. How do you get turnovers? And how do you get him to release the football? And you know, what do you do to him in coverage to give him problems?
Yeah, it's really difficult. Again, you've got to put yourself, in my mind, you got to put yourself in a similar look, because if you have yourself in a different look and the cornerbacks are, I mean, typically a cornerback, if he's playing zone, he's just going to be a little bit, his knees aren't going to be bent as severely. If he's playing man, they're going to be bent a little bit more, a little closer to 90 degrees, you know, so he'll be more bent. If he's playing man, he'll be more upright. If he's playing zone, and if you do those things, Phillip Rivers is going to know.
Yeah.
And I haven't studied the Bills' defensive backcourt on film to know what some of their tendencies are, how they disguise man or zone. But so you've got to line up the exact same way every time, and then you've got to change it on Phillip Rivers on the snap. You've got to bring one of the safeties down into the box, and you have to play robber coverage when one safety comes to the middle and tries to take a crossing pattern, because they run a lot of middle flood as well. So hopefully you can take one of those receivers, force them to throw short. And on the outside, sometimes you need to step up on the outside and prevent that ball from being thrown on the outside quickly if you're playing a cover two. But you've got to be multiple schemes defensively, but you got to give him a similar look so that he doesn't have an idea pre-snap or he's going to really hurt you.
Steve, do me a favor. Tell Mark what Frank Reich said about coaching Rivers.
Yeah, he said Phillip Rivers is almost, and when it comes to pass protection and where guys are coming from and what the defense is going to do in its front to rush the passer, he's almost a savant. So he never gets caught off guard. He knows where they're coming from before the snap almost invariably, and he knows how to manipulate his protection to give him the best chance to get rid of it and leave. If they're going to bring an extra guy, he knows where he's going to come from, and he knows how long he's got. And he can almost choose the guy he wants to leave free. And he said he's just – you can't sack him because he gets rid of the football and he knows where the rushers are coming from, and he manipulates his front to combat yours. He says that's what the word he used, a savant.
Yeah. Well, he's been doing it at a really high level for a really long time, and he has the right mentality as a quarterback because he escapes with the idea of delivering the football down the field. He throws with a 3/4 arm slot as it is, but he rarely throws over the top. But he'll drop it down even to sidearm if he has to get it around an extended arm of a defensive end or a defensive
and it's
tackle.
Accurate.
No, it's amazing that he throws like that because it's unorthodox. When you're a free safety and you're backpedaling in a certain situation and coverage, you always look at that front shoulder of the quarterback, and he's the only guy in the league that can can have the front shoulder. It's not pointing to the
point,
like if the I'm
other,
looking
point
at
the wrong direction.
It can't be pointing the wrong direction, but he can be pointing his shoulder directly upfield and throw to the to his right side, which is your left, which you think he has to throw the middle there. No, he doesn't have to do that because his hips are already open when he throws it. So it's a little bit different as a defensive back, and you've got to be aware of that. But you I mean, guys just have to do their job, and they've got to – again, they've got to be in a situation where he doesn't understand what the coverage is, so it gives them just another moment of hesitation before he tries to throw the football. And if that happens, you have a chance to get him on the move, and if you get him on the move, he's much less effective, even though he can throw well on the run to his right side. He's much less effective, certainly, than if you let him stand back there in the pocket and just move subtly to buy additional time.
Let's take a call while Mark Kelsey was with us. David in Wheatfield on the line. David, go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. It's a pleasure to be on the air with several Hall of Famers in my book. I had a comment to make about the offense, but I'm going to concentrate on defense because we have Mark there now. And my question was, our zone defense last week, Flacco just picked them apart. And, you know, I shudder to think what Rivers is going to do to them. Is there some way for – do? I think our secondary is the strength of our team, and I'm wondering why we didn't play more man coverage. And then, you know, following up on that, why isn't Kelso coaching our defense?
Well, they, I mean, certainly have extremely capable guys, and Leslie Frazier is an outstanding defensive coordinator. And but I appreciate the sentiment. The it's a multifaceted problem, and I know fans get tired of hearing that, but it is, and it's just the way it is. I remember a time, and I'll tell you just a story. Remember the one time when Bruce came in the booth and we were talking about something, and he said something. Yeah, all those sacks that you got, Mark, were because of all the pressure I put on. And I said, well, touche, because all those sacks you guys, because we had great coverage on the back end.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. And, I mean, everybody has to be in the spot where they need to be. When you have young players, and I'm not saying they do this. I'm saying there's a tendency for them to do this. Now, Tremaine Edmonds made a couple plays in the passing game. But you got Tremaine Edmonds, and you have Matt Milano, who are real young players, and you got Tre'Davious White. When you're playing zone, more zone, and I think because of Phillip Gaines in there, that lends the defense more to what his skill set is, which is more zone than man, probably. But when you bring man, you got to bring additional pressure. But when you drop in zone, you can't drop to a spot. And I think when you're a young player, sometimes you still drop to a spot. Your spot has to be – you have a spot on the field. If you're dropping to the hook zone, so let's say the hook zone is defined as 2 or 3 yards outside the hash to just inside the numbers on whatever side of the field you're on. Well, if you're dropping to the hook zone, that's an 8-yard area. So you need to understand when a receiver comes to that area, where do I need to be, on the inside of that receiver or the outside? You can't just drop to a spot 4.5 yards between the hash and the numbers and think that you're defending the hook zone, because they're going to stop and turn to the outside, and Phillip Rivers or as the case may be, Joe Flacco, they're going to deliver that football on time and accurate, and you're not going to get there to defend. So
it's more of a man-to-man attitude inside your zone.
Your zone, that's correct. You know, defend the player in your zone and then until he leaves your zone, and then impede his progress at the line of scrimmage. I've talked about that for years too. You have to find a way for those receivers. It's all predicated on timing. You've got to find a way to either make them show up at a spot that the quarterback's not expecting, or make them get there too early or too late. Then you have a chance to defend in that situation.
Hey, Mark, you do it better than anybody. Break down the matchups. Go through the matchups on either side of the ball for the Bills' opponents. But it strikes me that this game, and I want your opinion about this, this game is about matchups, but it's also about the Bills just playing as up to their potential. You know what I'm saying? That was an awful performance last Sunday. I can't believe they're that bad. I don't believe they're that bad, and I don't think they'll ever play that poorly again. But how much of this game is about that, just the Bills playing the way they're capable of, as opposed to matching up against the Chargers?
And from a psychological standpoint, it's a huge game, because they go away on the road to Minnesota, and they go on the way on the road to Green Bay, and two very difficult places to play against arguably a team that's probably is favored by many people to at least make it to the NFC Championship game in Minnesota. And Green Bay, you're not sure what they're going to do, depending on the health of some of their guys like Aaron Rodgers, depending on how that situation unfolds. But so it's a critical game. They're back in their own building. They didn't play last week. And again, it's I don't want to patronize it and patronize fans by saying it's not as bad as it looks on film, and it's not as good. So the Ravens last week probably left some plays on the table, and the Bills – didn't make some plays, but they made a few good plays, and if they would have done a couple other things better, then maybe they would have had a chance to win that game. Probably not the truth, because they really got taken to the woodshed last week.
Yeah.
But everybody has culpability, and everybody can play just a little bit better, and if they do that collectively, they have a much better opportunity here to play well against the Chargers and come out with a victory. They'll enjoy the 12th man advantage. They don't have to travel. Obviously, they've looked at the things that they've made mistakes on last week, those younger players. I know Steve had a segment with Coach McDermott early in the week talking about some of the young players. Those younger players have another week of maturity, which is really important, particularly when you have a guy who's a rookie and he's sure. leading your defense from that middle linebacker position. So another week of maturity there, and they'll have an opportunity to do a couple little things differently and say, well, if I just would have done this a little differently, be better in better position to make that play. So, if that happens collectively, then you have an opportunity in this game. But, again, it's going to be a difficult task.
You can speak to the mindset, though. After that game last week, playing better, everybody, that's job one. I mean, you got to forget about it. Even before they went in and watched the film, flying home on the flight that night and coming in on Monday watching the game, playing better than they did last week emotionally and individually was job one, I think, coming into this week. Those guys, there's no way – they could watch that film or look at the scoreboard of that game or the stat or whatever the way they look back or remember it. There's no way they can remember it any other way than saying to themselves, well, that ain't going to happen again.
Well, and there's a process to making that happen. You can't just, like, well, you know. You
doesn't
and I
just
know,
happen.
Doesn't, you can't just say, we're not going to let
wand.
It happen again. It doesn't happen
right.
again. No, it's going to happen again unless you take care of the things that enabled it to happen. And that's what we talk about. We talk about all those puzzle pieces, and you got to fit them all together to create this nice whatever it is, a Buffalo Bill symbol or a W at the end of the game. But
right.
they've got to fit together seamlessly. And if one's out of kilter and you're not sure what puzzle piece you want to put in because they're still fluctuating personnel and still made a personnel change this week, I mean, it changes. And guys, I mean, you complement each other as players. You know, when you understand what the guy next to you does, then you can do some things that help out his situation and play to his skill set. And if you can do that, that's what makes the whole better than the sum of the parts.
Thanks, Mark. We'll see you Sunday. Thank you.
Look forward to
see
it.
See you, man.
Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. When we come back, Greg Cosell, analyst for ESPN's NFL matchup and longtime senior producer at NFL Films. More on the Bills game and the rest of the league with Greg Cosell. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We're getting some in-depth analysis of this matchup, Steve, from Mark Kelso, who's great, and joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline right now, another great analyst who crunches video all week long. He is executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN, 39 years as a senior producer at NFL Films. Greg Cosell in for his regular Friday visit. Greg, John Murphy, and Steve up here in Buffalo. Thanks for joining us.
Murph, Steve, how you guys doing?
Doing well. I don't know if you've heard, we had a quarterback switch. Not all that surprising given what happened to the Bills last weekend. What's your take on the switch to Josh Allen, and what are your thoughts going into this game against the Chargers?
You know, I'm never surprised by that, Steve. I mean, you can go back, you know, what was it, 3, 4, 5 years when Blake Bortles was drafted and Dave Caldwell, their GM, said there's no way he'll play his rookie year and he started week 3. You can go back to last year with Mitchell Trubisky. You know, he won't play his rookie year. We signed Mike Glennon. When did he start? Week 3, I believe, maybe. So
first
I'm
month
never
of the
surprised.
Season, yeah.
I'm never surprised by that. We've discussed before how they traded up to get Josh Allen. As much as they may have liked Nathan Peterman, he was still, what, a sixth-round pick, I believe, something like that. So I'm not surprised at all.
Anything at all you can say from looking at the video of the Bills at Baltimore, the issues for Nathan Peterman and the Buffalo offense? It was pretty miserable, as you know, Greg.
Yes, I did watch the tape, and, it was not an uplifting experience if you're a Bills fan.
No.
I think the O-line's an issue. If they can't run the football, they're not going to be able to play offense. Peterman is the kind of quarterback that even if you like Peterman and think that he can play, he's the kind of quarterback that must have a clean pocket. I thought he missed some things as well. I thought that he had an opportunity to hit Jason Kroon for a touchdown on a seam ball in which he did not throw it to Jason Kroon, but he looked to that side of the field and ended up throwing it, I believe, to Kelvin Benjamin. You know, I think Kelvin Benjamin needs to be more of a factor, and some of it is on him, I believe. I thought he looked a little sluggish in his movement. I think he needs to play with more tempo and at times some more competitiveness. When you have a big receiver like that, you're going to line him up, particularly as the single receiver. You want to be able to get the ball to him in one-on-one coverage. I think that they wanted Peterman to be able to be a quick rhythm player off of run action to generate some sustaining consistency, and they weren't able to do that due to a combination of the Ravens' very quick pressure at times and coverage. So everything that I think they attempted to want to do to get Peterman comfortable did not work.
Yeah, everything basically. So yeah. Now it's the rookie Josh Allen, and how do we look at Josh Allen and as far as the Bills' decision to balance his inexperience and, you know, his just arriving on the scene in the NFL, just getting this playbook a couple of months ago, with his obvious physical strength, his talents. Like, can his arm strength and his athleticism overcome some of the drawbacks to his game?
Well, theoretically, his athleticism can, but you run into an issue now with this. And this is something that I think they're going to have to be very careful about, Murph, and work through. He's going to end up leaving the pocket a lot because of offensive line issues. So, and he has a little of that in his DNA to begin with as a movement player, a player that tends not to stay in the pocket late through the down. So the question becomes, if he leaves the pocket early because he feels that he has to do just to survival and to try to make plays, where does he go with that development? Because ultimately, to play in this league, he's going to have to be able to sit in the pocket, go through progressions, and deliver the football. And you don't develop those skills if you're not using those skills. So it's a very fine line here. So he might be able to do more than Peterman simply because Peterman is a pure pocket player. And obviously Allen is just a more skilled guy with his movement and his arm. But the question is, with Allen, how does that either help or hinder his development?
One of the other things we wanted to talk to you about is that Bills, because of an injury to Shaq Lawson, they signed Nate Orchard, who fresh off the Cleveland Browns team and Hard Knocks. What does Nate Orchard bring to the table? And we've seen, he seems like an athletic kind of long, lean kind of pass rusher. How quickly can he get acclimated, in your opinion? Did you've seen other guys try this?
Well, I think they're different players. So I think Orchard, if they're looking for pass rush, I believe. I think that Jerry Hughes is really their only true pass rusher. They're going to see if Murphy can be that guy. But Murphy's track record is he's a little more of a cleanup guy than a true pass rusher. Orchard is not the kind of player Shaq Lawson is. I think Shaq Lawson at his best is almost a strong side defensive end who plays the run well. He's not a particularly strong edge pass rusher either. Orchard, theoretically, at his best, would provide some pass rush, but he obviously got cut, and now he's on his second team. And I think he was a second-round pick, so he was thought of pretty highly when he was drafted. But I don't think he fills the same role in the Bills' defense as Shaq Lawson.
Hmm. And, of course, they go up against, I would think, one of the best arms in the game. They go up against Phillip Rivers. Can you talk about his strengths and maybe any weaknesses from Phillip Rivers? What have you seen over the years from him, Greg?
Well, I think Phillip Rivers, to me, is a terrific quarterback. He's Peyton Manning, who doesn't get that kind of credit in the way he can control a game at the line of scrimmage and manipulate a defense. He's really smart, knows exactly what he's seeing. Now, for the most part, the Bills' defense is not necessarily that multiple. They don't do a lot before the snap of the ball. But look, these two teams played last year. Phillip Rivers has a lot of weapons. They go four deep at wide receiver with all the dimensions you could want at the position. They can run the football. Melvin Gordon is a very good receiver out of the backfield, as is Austin Ekeler. He's a player that no one will talk about, but he is a really good third down back for them who can line up and be detached from the formation. So this is an offense that pretty much has every dimension that you look for. Rivers easily last week, if it wasn't for a few drops, could have thrown for 500 yards. So this is a pretty challenging pass offense that the Bills defense will have to somehow slow down this week.
Yeah, I was going to – I didn't want to change the subject, but I think I will. I mean, that game they put up last week, I mean, they lit it up on the scoreboard. They scored only 28 points, although Phillip Rivers had two touchdown passes that were dropped. What about the Chiefs throwing up 38 points on the road in Los Angeles? And then you look at Patrick Mahomes only threw for 256 yards and completed just over half of the footballs he threw. I mean, how does that happen if you're the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Steve, sometimes yards aren't necessarily there's not a direct correlation always between yards and points. Obviously, the Chiefs, you know, Mahomes hit some big plays. They scored Hill scored a touchdown, obviously, which was not an offensive play, Tyreek Hill. And they hit a couple of big plays. And then Chiefs were very innovative in the red zone and scored two touchdowns that gave Mahomes two more passing touchdowns, even though they were really kind of cool, innovative plays. But the Chargers are without Joey Bosa. Now, you're talking about totally different offenses. I don't think – my guess would be that the Bills are not going to come out and spread formations and try to throw the ball all over the yard. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, if they get behind, obviously that changes things, but – What the Chiefs did to the Chargers and the way they went about doing it is not going to be the way the Bills come out and play this Sunday.
We're on the line with Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN, longtime senior producer at NFL Films. The Bengals, Andy Dalton, 2-0 now, Greg. What do you think of Dalton's start to this season, and what are we looking at, a career resurrection by Andy Dalton here? What do you see?
Well, you know, I think, Murph, Andy Dalton's had a solid NFL career. I think he's one of those guys, for many, the narrative's been written, and they don't think he's very good. But it wasn't that long ago that he was viewed as an MVP candidate in the year that he got hurt. Obviously, this team hasn't made the playoffs in 3 years, and when that happens, that tends to reflect, from a media standpoint, negatively on a quarterback. But he's had a pretty good NFL career. This is a team with a lot of weapons now. They can line up with two tight ends and Tyler Eifert and Tyler Kroft and be effective. They can line up with three wide receivers and be effective. Joe Mixon, to me, is a really outstanding back skill-wise. I do not think there was much difference at all when they came, and they came out in the same year, between a Joe Mixon and a Dalvin Cook, and I would argue that Joe Mixon gives you more in the passing game. So they are a talented offensive team.
I think they're talented defensively, too, aren't they?
They've got a very good front four, particularly their nickel front four, where they bring usually will bring Michael Johnson inside, and he rushes with Geno Atkins inside, and they have Carl Lawson and Carlos Dunlap rushing outside. That is a very, very good nickel front four.
Talk a little bit about the Baltimore Ravens, the guys who got beat by the Bengals last night. A little bit of a roller coaster this year. Certainly they had no problem with the Bills in week one, and then they didn't look like the same team against the Bengals.
No, and I'm struggling with their offense, Steve. And when I say that, I don't mean that I think that Marty Morningring's doing a bad job. I'm just trying to figure out what they want their identity to be. Because they came out against the Bills, and week one, you never know if it's a team's identity or if it's a function of the opponent. But as you guys know, they came out against the Bills, and I don't think they handed the ball off three times in the first half. Joe Flacco dropped back over 30 times in the first half against you guys. You know, and then they sort of did much of the same thing against Cincinnati. They got down early, but I'm not sure after 2 weeks what they see their offense as. Alex Collins was a very good back a year ago. They actually have some depth at running back. So to me, they've got to decide how they want to play. You can't have Joe Flacco drop back as much as he's done the first 2 weeks on a regular basis. It worked against the Bills. It obviously did not work quite as well against the Bengals. That's a hard road to hoe with a quarterback who's a pure drop-back player.
Hey, Greg, I got a Sunday matchup to ask you about, and Steve's going to be on the sidelines for this game for CBS. The Jets and the Dolphins, and especially Sam Darnold, an amazing start to his career. How much of that is going to go away? How much of that do you think is really Sam Darnold?
Well, the score made it seem that Sam Darnold was absolutely terrific, and he's been anointed, and we do that. Everybody does that, just like Deshaun Watson was anointed last year after six starts, as was Jimmy Garoppolo. Darnold, I thought the coaching staff did an outstanding job, really, with the kinds of things they'd ask him to do, very basic, very simple, defining the reads. The one thing I thought Darnold did extremely well was show patience in the pocket, not bail, which he has a tendency to do. He did not do it very often, and he had a pretty good sense of where his bailout throws were, and I think that's really critical for young quarterbacks because otherwise you get too many negative plays.
Yeah, how much did Darnold, I mean, I said this earlier in the week, the Jets seem to be energized by Darnold and his play. I mean, their offensive line played better than was advertised. Yep. The defense played better, got five turnovers. I mean, this looks like an entire team that looks to be rejuvenated because of a rookie quarterback.
And that may well be true. I mean, I think, look, you're doing the game. You're going to, you know, I don't know if you've had your meetings yet and talked to the Jets, but that's something you'd have to be around the team to know. Often that can happen with a rookie quarterback. We'll see how it continues. That game played out beautifully for Sam Darnold. Obviously, the first throw was terrible, but then he was able to settle in, and then the score was such that he didn't have to do a lot. He only threw the ball, I think, 21 times, and the game got out of hand. So we didn't get into, you know, late third quarter, fourth quarter, where he had to really execute at a high level and make the kind of stick difficult throws that he'll eventually have to make.
Hey, Greg, thanks for this. We'll talk to you again next Friday. Have a great football weekend. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Greg Cosell, executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN. He's also longtime senior producer at NFL Films. His show, NFL Matchup on ESPN, tomorrow 1 a.m. on ESPN2, and then Sunday 6:30 a.m. on ESPN. Steve and I back with more in a moment. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. Coming to you from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live, John Murphy, Steve Tasker from our One Buffalo studio. Thanks for tuning in today. Getting set for the Bills and the Los Angeles Chargers. Practice is over for the day for the Buffalo Bills. Trying to get your thoughts on a couple of key players, who it might be for the Bills. Got a call from Dave in Florida. Dave, thanks for calling in. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Murph? Steve?
Hey. Hi, Dave.
Kind of an impact player, in my opinion, is going to be Marcus Murphy. And the reason I say that is you need to line him up in the back with Shady and run the old sweep. Remember the juice with the electric company?
Sure.
The Packers sweep, the Cleveland Browns sweep, whatever happened to them days. The Buffalo, and this would open things up for Josh Allen.
Maybe. You know, it's funny, Dave. Because
if it worked, it'd open it up.
Kelso talked about the opportunities, though, to run the ball, and not unlike what Dave just said, to run the ball against this Chargers defense.
Outside the tackles, that's what Kelso said. And that's because they're set up to stop it inside, and you got to hit them where they're vulnerable, and that's it leads you to thinking they're going to run the sweep. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, Dave is thinking that it's just something that was a philosophy back in the day. All that stuff is on the table, and it works when the other team isn't set up to defend it. And Kelso's contention was, and probably rightfully so, they're set up because of the way what they like to do with their linebackers, walking them up in the C gaps, and it knocks that stuff off the table. You got to go to the outside because obviously when they walk up in there, they don't have any leverage to get out there. So if you can get to the edge, you've got to have some room out there. So yeah, it's on the table. You're the second guy. Caller Dave was the second guy today to say we got to get Marcus Murphy and LeSean McCoy on the field at the same time. Neither one of them for the same reason, but that seems to be a popular, remedy to maybe some of the problems the Bills experienced last weekend. And listen, it's very simple. You need your best players on the field. And if it's Marcus Murphy and LeSean McCoy, yeah, you got to get them on the field together.
All right, we're going to break. We've got Lorenzo Alexander coming up and Steve Berline scheduled to join us as well. One more hour to go. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.